All right, Don. Hey, I got a sweatshirt. Check this out. And look at the back. This is kind of fun. Do you see that?
Wow, by God. Where'd you get that?
Rather than people think it's Casual Tuesday
Where'd you get that?
This sweatshirt was given to me by my very good friend. Her name is Tamu. And we were studying specifically in Genesis chapter 45. We have the story of Joseph. And she and I were talking about this story. And after the whole storyline comes, we get to the point, the crux of the story, where he shows himself to his brothers. And his brothers are so devastated. And they can't believe that after 30 years, their brother is alive. He's the king. He can help them. All of these wonderful things. You can hear their pleading in the way it's worded, that they're just so sorry for what they did. And Joseph has this opportunity to just stick it to him, right? And to just be so mean. And he doesn't. He says in verse 7 and 8, "And God sent me before you to preserve you, a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and through all of his house, and the ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." And she and I just stuck on that phraseology, "but God."
But God.
To just consider the notion that God, he's like, God, he gave God all the credit for all the heartache he had been through, realizing, "but God." And I love the way it translates in Hebrew, because that "but" could also be an "and." And so I love how he's maybe even saying "and God," like God had something to do with this. And so she gave me the sweatshirt because I was going through something that was so difficult. And she said, "but God, God has a plan."
I love it. What an expression.
Isn't it fun?
Through life, I think we should all use it.
Yeah.
Such and such, but God.
But God.
I love that.
And that seems to be the theme of our whole lesson today about
it is.
Right here. God's purposes will always prevail. This whole discussion today is going to be on Genesis chapter 42 through 50 for our Come Follow Me lesson. And this is episode 1 of 2 in our discussion of But God. Welcome to Jesus Christ in Scripture. I'm Tammy Uselak-Hall, and this is my friend, Dr. Donald W. Perry. So grab your scriptures and let's get right into Genesis chapter 50 and talk to us about this phrase, "but God," and how does God prevail in our lives?
So I'm going to read an expression from Genesis, Joseph, and we're going to conclude with the same expression.
Perfect.
And we're going to develop what it means to us and how it can relate to us. So Joseph's words, quote, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." So the theme of this episode is God's purposes always prevail. There may be enemies of the kingdom of God or enemies opposed to God, but his purposes always prevail. We're going to look at 2 or 3 examples.
Okay.
So the first example is the Assyrian army defeats the northern kingdom of Israel. The second example are attempts to thwart the work of Paul the Apostle. Mm-hmm. The third example are attempts to thwart the work of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So let's look at those examples. The Assyrians conquer the northern kingdom of Israel. It describes Assyria's invasion and deportation of Israel. And then why? Because of Israel's, the northern kingdom's, gross iniquities and unfaithfulness to God. "The Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even unto the other. The house of Israel should be scattered upon all the face of the earth." So the Assyrians did their work. Centuries, millennia went past. And now in the last days, and it took centuries and millennia, and people might say, why did it take so long? Well, this is according to the Lord's calendar and his perfect knowledge of what's best. The Lord is hastening his work to gather Israel. The gathering is the most important thing taking place on earth today. Nothing else compares in magnitude. Nothing else compares in importance. Nothing else compares in majesty. There is nothing, italics in the original, nothing happening on this earth right now that is more important than that. There is nothing of greater consequence. So that's my first example.
Okay.
Wicked, dangerous, warfaring nation Assyria scatters the northern kingdom. And then the scattering continues over the centuries and millennia. So now Israel's found in all the kingdoms and nations of the world.
And the idea of this, Don, if I'm understanding it correctly, is that his people were together at one point, and prophets and apostles have been saying, look, get it together,
yes,
or you're going to be scattered. get it together or God can't help you when the Assyrians come in. And they just didn't believe the prophets.
Right.
So when the Assyrians came in, that's when the scattering happened. And then they didn't get to be together anymore. And all of the things that they worshiped and loved were basically gone. And so this scattering took place. You have the Assyrian captivity, you have a Babylonian captivity, and you think, oh my goodness, how could God possibly prevail in this situation? And he knew, he totally knew,
yes.
And he's given chances
yes.
through this gathering. And so now we are, and I love how at the very end he says, absolutely nothing
yeah.
is more important than now finding those brothers and sisters and bringing us all back into one. So he's going to prevail, and this is one of the examples.
This is one of the examples, and these are attempts by different people to thwart the work of the great apostle Paul. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save once. 3 times, thrice, was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered a shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, meaning the ocean. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, and among false brethren. All these forces trying to stop the work of the Lord.
Yeah.
Just think of the impact of Paul's epistles. And I've given 3 examples. Mm-hmm. And we're still reading his epistles. And Christians and others to this day are impacted by Paul's writings. So did they stop the work of the Lord long term? No. So here are 3 examples. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Mm-hmm. Now that one is a sermon on its own.
Absolutely.
Charity never faileth. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul's writings are still powerful, and the Lord is still using his writings to teach us about Jesus. These are attempts to stop the work of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm just giving a handful of examples. One is the extermination order. One is Emma Smith. I want to share a couple of things about Emma.
Please.
And the persecution that she had. Often in her life, she is homeless. Sometimes she is a refugee. Only 5 of Joseph and Emma's 11 children lived beyond childhood, including the 2 adopted children. Listen what happened at her baptism. This is sad.
Yeah.
It was June 27th, 1830, and there was persecution right at the baptism. So the saints had built a dam on the Knights farm, dammed up the water to make it deep enough for immersion.
Yeah.
The mob destroyed the dam.
Yes.
Then the saints rebuilt the dam. And when people are being baptized, and I think Emma also, the mob stood on the banks yelling out and mocking. I can't even imagine taking away from that sacred ordinance. This is a famous quote, but I want to especially emphasize the second phrase.
I love this quote so much. Let me tell you why.
Yeah.
On my mission,
yeah.
we had to recite it every single morning.
What?
Yeah, every morning.
I love it.
No unhallowed hand can stop the work from progressing. Persecutions may rage, mobs may combine, armies may assemble, calumny may defame, but the work of God will go forth boldly, nobly, and independent until it has penetrated every continent, sounded in every ear, until the work of God shall be accomplished and the great Jehovah shall say, the work is done.
Oh, wow. I'm impressed.
Ah,
super.
Visit every climb. I didn't get that. Anyway.
So on my mission.
I believe this.
We memorized section 4 of the Doctrine of Covenants.
Oh, absolutely.
We didn't memorize this.
Oh, we
did
do 4.
I love this.
Yeah. Thank you to my mission president, Randy Bott. This was so important for us because I can remember saying this when we would meet adversity.
I love it.
When people, I remember walking on the streets and having a car drive by us and people spit on us.
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
It was awful. And just being
I hate it.
Why would someone spit on me? And then this would pop in my head.
Yeah.
Like it served its purpose. I believe it with all my heart.
The time of Joseph, the Assyrians, Paul the Apostle, throughout history, they're not going to stop the work. I testify, I know. Now we're going to conclude with Joseph. His father and mother were Jacob and Rachel, and he's born in Mesopotamia. His brothers sold him. He was a slave. Just look at this route, this journey. How in the world will God ever pull this off? He's sold, he's a slave, then he's imprisoned, but he interprets dreams. So this is God's hand. He's released from prison. This slave is now second in command to the Pharaoh of Egypt. I'm astounded at how God works. I'm thankful. Joseph oversaw 7 years of harvest with his wife. They have 2 sons. They're famous, Manasseh and Ephraim. There are 7 years in famine, which causes the brothers to come up from Palestine to get food, and they move there, and Joseph reveals his identity. He died in Egypt. He was embalmed and placed in a coffin. I've given the scripture here. Moses, so this is sometime later. Remember, Moses is after the slavery period. So Joseph's embalmed for a long time, centuries probably.
Yeah.
Moses took Joseph's bones to the promised land after the conquest. He's buried in Shechem. And I've taken groups to Shechem. So
how
that's
do you
a
say
side note.
How do you really say Shechem?
Well, the way the Israelis say is Shechem.
Shechem. So we are in Genesis chapter 50. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them.
What a wonderful example.
Yeah. That in all of the things he could have said, I love that he made sure to include, but God.
Yeah.
That God had everything to do with where they are right now.
And he gives them comfort. Fear not, I'll nourish you and your little ones. Yeah. Let's look at these words one more time. Fear not, for am I in the place of God? Am I God?
Yeah.
No. But as for you, you thought evil against me. And then here's the punchline. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive.
I think this is really important for us to recognize. I think if you look in your life, Don, and you look back on all the experiences you had in your life, are there times that were so difficult that you can now have the hindsight to say, oh, but God?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think Joseph maybe had 30 years to sit and think about everything that was going on so that he could say, but God, rather than be vengeful or evil or, or mad to his brothers. It's easier to see the but God when you're through the hard time. But if you're in the middle of the hard time, take faith in the idea that there is a but God or an and God in what you're going through. I am a witness of that. Don certainly is a witness of that in his life. And I know that that time when my friend brought me this sweatshirt, I needed that but God wording to get me through what I was going through. And it worked. I think sometimes the Lord allows us the time to figure out the but God in our life. So take that into your thoughts this week as you're driving around and you're thinking about your life. Find the but God narrative or the and God narrative in your story and share it as Joseph has done. I think I'm so grateful for the scriptures that have shared Joseph's story and for us to be able to see that God really does prevail no matter what you're going through. Thank you for joining this week for this episode. This is episode 1 of 2. So join us in the next episode where we're going to talk a little bit more about things in scriptures. Shalom and goodbye.